Here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goebel. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, Xavier Wills, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, Scotty Goebel. Scott, how are we doing?
We're doing well, mate. Busy as always, and plugging away on the contest prep front, but all good.
Yep, only 4 days away from the apparent end of the world, according to the Mayans. So are you taking a bit of time off, Scotty, or are you just continuing on as normal?
What was the best thing I've heard in relation to this? If you couldn't predict the downfall of your own civilization, how can you predict the downfall of the world? So, no, this is just completely irrelevant to me. I pay no heed. You will see no Mayan-related post on Facebook from me.
Yes, I think it's all ridiculous as well. And apparently that didn't count for leap years. So that would have been the end of the world, I think. Maybe it was sometime early in December. So, yeah, they were wrong. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, we've got a big show ahead of us, Scotty. We've got Wayne Howlett, who's from down in Tassie. He's going to be calling in later on in the show, hopefully. I haven't confirmed it 100% with him, the time to do it, but hopefully he'll be calling in later in the show. And he's like one strong dude. He trains. He's got his own gym down there, like a private gym he trains in, and he's kind of got it all set up, you know, powerlifting style for himself. And I'm not sure on his exact lifts, but he just got back from the Worlds and he won some golds. And you know, if you're going over to the Worlds and beating a lot of those European guys, those Russian freaks and stuff, you're going to be a strong dude. And he squats, you know, he squats something between, you know, 350 and 400 kilos and things like that. So definitely a strong dude. So he'll be interesting to talk to. And yeah, I've had a busy, well, not a busy weekend, but I've had kind of a weekend off, mostly of work. I did a few hours on Saturday, probably about four or five hours. But apart from that, I've had a pretty relaxed weekend. I had my girlfriend Holly's work dinner, so it was quite good. Everything paid for, free alcohol and all that kind of stuff. So that was good, and it's actually pretty good. Her boss has paid for all the alcohol, the meals, all that kind of stuff. And I actually paid for everyone there, which was quite a lot of people, to have like a hotel room for the night. They put us up in this nice hotel and everything, Scotty. So
nice.
Quite pleased with that, so that was pretty good, and it was only like about 500 metres a K away from where we actually, you know, had the kind of the event thing, so that was all good. And been on. I wouldn't say I got drunk, no. I started the night thinking, yeah, I'm probably going to get drunk for the first time in ages, and I started drinking, and I was like, oh, it's not really doing that much, and kind of had a few more, and then I kind of started feeling a bit kind of tipsy and stuff, and then from there, I was just, because I've been used to waking up at about, I don't know, 5:30 every morning, because Holly gets up really early for work. So I'm kind of used to that, and when it gets to around, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, that's when I start getting tired now. So it got to about 10:30, and I'm like, I'm not drinking anymore, I feel tired. And I went up there and actually asked for a vodka Red Bull, because I thought I'd get a bit of energy, then they said, no, we don't have any of that. So I'm like, oh. So I just kind of ended my night there and just relaxed, and it was good. I'm glad I did, because we went back to the hotel room and then just kind of just slept, and Holly wasn't too well on the night and stuff and woke up, so I'm glad I didn't kind of... I don't think she was sick from alcohol, though. I think she was sick from food or something, so I'm glad I wasn't over the toilet like she was, and she probably won't appreciate me telling anyone this, but... happens to the best of us, Scotty, and I was sick of it.
I respect that. I assume that she just didn't want to have sex with you, but if she went to the effort to inducing a vomit, then she's really gone the hack there, so I'm impressed.
Yeah, she's putting in my hard yards.
Yeah.
She actually said, do you want me to come in and help you? And she said no, so maybe she was just...
there you go, just making vomit noises.
Yeah, that might be right, Scotty, I don't know.
Yeah.
Although she did go to sleep and then woke up at 2 in the morning to do it, so I don't see. Don't see the point there, Scotty, so I think your story's full of holes. Anyway, it was a good weekend. Next day I went and saw Skyfall, the movie, Scotty, the new James Bond movie. Have you seen that one?
No, as you know, I don't
do anything.
See movies or TV or do really anything pop culture related.
If you're going to see a movie, see this one, because it's actually, I heard something was saying, it's like, some people like, oh, it's okay, and some people love it, and I was one of the people that loved it. I thought it was awesome, because I didn't go in many expectations, because I didn't like a few of the other Bond movies with Daniel Craig and stuff, but this one was actually a really good one, so I recommend anyone out there to see that movie, and it was good. And actually, the cinema over here that we went to was like, I don't know what they've got in Melbourne, if they've got village cinemas or what they've got, but they don't really have village cinemas over here at all, I don't think, and the cinema we went to was an event cinema or something, and they had it so, you know how you've got the armrest where you put your drink in and everything like that, they actually all went up, so, and they had assigned seats as well, so we had our assigned seats, and we're like, oh shit, you know, probably sit next to someone, but we actually had the whole row to ourselves, and the arm bits went up, so we end up like laying down in the movie, so it was kind of just as good a gold class in that kind of that sense, so that was good, and yeah, and then pretty much I'll be flying out from Perth tomorrow morning at 5:30, so that's a nice early flight, so I'll be up at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, Scotty, so we're going to get into this radio show, and we're going to talk about a few different things, Scotty, and the first thing we want to talk about is bigger ladies in Australia and who's kind of going to be a contender at the pro card, really, in the figure competition at FedEx 2013, Scotty.
Yep.
Now, I've got a few names that I'm going to roll out, and you can add to that list, or you can tell me if you think people maybe shouldn't be in the list as, I suppose, contenders. But we'll start at who I think is probably one of the biggest contenders and probably, for me, is the favourite to take a pro card. Now, some people will probably say, oh, you know, maybe some other people might be, but I think Renee Smith, I think she's, after winning the tall class at the IFBB National, she has to be considered, along with Asha Pryor and perhaps Rach White, the favourites to win this show. What's your thoughts on that, Scotty? Do you think Renee is kind of at the top?
Absolutely. I'm very high on Renee Schmidt and her potential well beyond the amateur stage. I just can't really fault her. I think she's got a perfect structure. She can get very lean. I'm not sure if she can maybe get too lean, but she presents beautifully. She's just slowly filling out her frame. I've got her winning the show, definitely. I don't know. She's undefeated so far, and it's not like she's, you know, picked and chosen easy contest. She's put herself up and won in Australasia and won in Australia. I shouldn't say she's undefeated, because she did do the Arnold Classic, didn't she? Where she didn't win, but undefeated on Australian ground, having beaten Rachel White and a few other big names. I've got her taking the show. Strong favourite for me.
Yeah, after seeing Rach White at the IFBB Vics, I thought, this girl, how can she not win the, you know, the IFBB Nationals in a chosen class? But when I saw Renee in pictures, at first I was a little bit worried when I saw a few pictures of Renee. I thought, ooh, is she too hard? Because they were really, I thought they'd crack down on it a bit more on with the, you know, inclusion of the physique this year in Australia. But I think, you know, if I was judging it, I'd have, you know, Renee winning probably based on pictures. But that's, you know, it's obviously different seeing it in person. And people say as well, she's got an amazing stage presence, Scotty. Did you kind of pick that up when you watched her?
I had the exact same thoughts. Both me and Luke McNally were discussing, it was basically saying the same thing. She should win it. She's got the best body on stage, but is she too hard for the IFBB criteria? That was the only possible thing that could go against her. But she does have a great stage presence. And I think even if she was too hard in the eyes of the IFBB, just because of her perfect structure, I think it's more than made up for it. So she could probably afford to come in a little bit softer, and she may even be better for it. But regardless, that she has the tiniest waist on stage, and she's got naturally good broad shoulders. She doesn't have to have a heap of manly muscle on there to give her any taper. She's just naturally got it, and she's filled out her legs quite nicely, which are the only sort of, in the past, I thought her legs were maybe a bit long and lanky and a bit of a chink in the armour, but the way they're coming up, I don't think that's any longer the case.
Yeah. Now, we'll talk about Asha Pryor, the winner of the short class in the open figure at the IFBB Nationals. I first saw Asha, I believe it was last year at the FedEx competition, and and I thought she looked absolutely incredible there, and she really stuck out in the lineup for me. She must have been doing, I suppose, if it was just the open or the open short class at FedEx. And she really stuck out. But she may have stuck out almost a little bit in a few reasons for the wrong reasons. Just because, you know, her delts were so kind of, they were so round, and she was a lot harder, and her front relaxed was incredible. She just stuck out, like her shape looked absolutely amazing. And I was kind of hoping she would win there. I believe she placed second, I think, in her class. But what do you think about Asha, Scotty? Do you think her height will kind of hurt her a bit, or do you think she's too muscular? What's your thoughts?
I think her height might hurt her a little bit. I don't think she's too muscular. She just beat a very, very good lineup at the Australias. She's been improving steadily. She always comes in conditioned head to toe, front to back, and not over the top striated condition. So I think Asha's great. I think the only potential downfall is that she's going to be up against the taller, more statuesque type competitors like Renee.
Yeah, I think Asha's absolutely awesome. I think she's bringing in more suitable to the IFBB package now since the FedEx in March. So I think she's maybe learnt she was perhaps maybe too hard and too, maybe even a little bit too muscular there, and she's kind of brought it down a little bit, and I think it's kind of suited her physique. Now, Louise White, she didn't place in the top three, I believe, at the IFBB Nationals, but a lot of people will kind of sing her praises after that show. What's your thought, Scotty?
Well, yeah, me and Luke McNally had her winning it, beating Asha. I thought she was an absolute standout, but she's just too muscular, and she doesn't have a great taper. She's got a really muscular midsection, which I think looks great, but she doesn't have the tiny waist and taper. So, yeah, look, I don't think she fits exactly what the IFBB is looking for. I think she'd... you know, she has done better in NABBA competitions than she has in the IFBB, and I think that's just because they look for slightly different things. So, look, I'd love to see Louise up amongst it. From a development standpoint, she absolutely holds her own with the rest of the girls, and I think she looks great, but I don't think she's qualified. I don't think she's got the national title to do it. So, you know, it's going to be... I don't think she gets mentioned amongst this group.
Yeah. And I just want to confirm, I'm not 100% sure she'll be doing the FedEx regardless anyway. Now, Rach White, we touched on her before. I thought she's absolutely awesome at the Vicks. I didn't see her at the Nationals because I wasn't there, but she did look very good there as well. What did she place in the end, Scotty? Was it second or third at the Nationals?
She placed third somehow behind Tamika Webber, the girl who came second at the Vicks. Don't ask me how.
Yeah. I think Rach White is incredible, and she, for me, when I saw her, I thought she had pro potential. She has a few body parts, like her arms and even her legs, that may be even a little bit too muscular. But I think she just, her presence, and she comes in, I think, the perfect condition for the IFBB, what they're kind of looking for. Not too hard, not too soft. So I think that kind of balances it out a bit. Do you think she's got the potential to beat Renee?
I think she needed to be a little bit harder at the Nationals. I don't think she was quite crisp enough. Can she beat Renee? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, on any given day, if she's just a little bit harder, Renee's maybe a little bit off, or Renee comes in too hard or something. Maybe she's got a different judging panel down in Victoria, home crowd. Who knows? But you'd have to say, on the basis of Renee beating her up at the Nationals, that she'd be the front runner in that head-to-head competition.
Yeah, it'd definitely be hard for her to, especially the judges, considering, you know, obviously they like Renee. It'd be hard for Rach White to come back from a third and obviously jump, you know, two competitors to get that pro card and beat Renee. Now, Katie Morris, I think she was second in the pro qualifier last year, only to Laura Keddie, who went on to win a pro card. But I think it'll be hard for Katie this year just based on who's doing it. I think it's going to be a better lineup this year in the pro qualifier and even in the open probably for figure. Do you think the same, Scotty?
Yeah, Katie's done a lot of shows, and I like Katie, but I'm not sure she's improving like the other girls are, which is sort of picking and choosing their spots. She's just, I know she dieted down real hard to do the World Championships. Was it the Worlds or the Arnold Europe or something she did?
I believe she did. She might have done both. I'm not too sure. Yeah, I know she did the Worlds. She did them.
So she hasn't got a big turnaround time to make improvements for the pro qualifier. So I'd say, I think the other girls are in front of her. I mean, she's more than paid her dues. She's always in amongst it. She's got multiple titles to her name. So she's certainly a threat. But, yeah, I agree. The standards are a little bit higher this year.
Yeah. Now, Amy Fox is one that she doesn't have an Australian title, but she has an amazing physique. Like 2 years ago, she did FedEx, and she looked absolutely phenomenal there. And some people even had her winning her pro card at that show. What do you think Amy can do at this show? Do you think if she comes in at all-time best, she can even win it?
Yeah, maybe. She's got all the muscle and shape that she could have. I think she just needs to be a little bit leaner and maybe a little bit lighter. On stage, she looks big compared to some of the other girls. So I think maybe she could. I think she'd be your dark horse pick out of the lot. She's represented Australia overseas. She's got second places in nationals and things like that. She's won her way through to the pro qualifier in the past, in the first year, and pushed Summer Bernard all the way. So I think, if we could find a way around the current qualifying rules and Amy can get in that pro qualifier division, then I think she's maybe your dark horse, could do some damage.
Yeah, certainly. I think Amy could definitely be up there. But she does, like you said, she looks a little bit bigger than the other girls, and she just has a different kind of overall look. Like, I don't know if it was a tan 2 years ago at the FedEx show or what it was, but she just looked different to all the other girls. And I'm not saying different in a bad way. She looked different in a good way, and she kind of stood out. So it'll be interesting to see what the judges think of her look against these other girls. Now, the last girl we'll mention is Sylvia Kovaskova. She competed and got second. Was it in the short or the tall class, Scotty?
In the short class.
Short class, to Asha Pryor. And I think this girl looks absolutely amazing. Maybe a little bit light on the legs, but her shape and everything, she's got a good midsection. She looks like she could really be pro standard, maybe just a little bit more legs. She kind of looks like one of those pro girls.
Yeah, she's very, very good. I know she's represented, again, Australia overseas, and I think placed quite well. She pushed Asha to the point where she was announced as first until they figured out that they'd got that wrong and had to go backstage and swap trophies, which was a little bit brutal for Sylvia. But, she's very, very good, and it could definitely threaten the top ones. The thing about her that I like, which is a massive attribute for a figure competitor, is the fact that she can get really, really hard but not be striated or overly muscular. Like, it's a lot of figure girls out there, they can get their upper body really, really hard but not their legs and things like that. But Sylvia can get hard all over without getting stringy. She's still got a bit of roundness and fullness to her muscles, so she's very good.
Just looking at the pictures, you can tell that she's not striated really anywhere much. You might see a few lines here and there, but she doesn't have that, you know, gnarliness look to her physique. She looks very feminine just all over. Now, that's it for a wrap-up. So, Scotty, if you had to do a top three, if they did the top three in a pro qualifier, how would you place it? Just based on if these girls were all competing against each other, kind of at their best.
I would go Renee Schmidt first. I think Rachel White's going to bring something pretty good to the table and play second. And in third, I don't know. I really like Amy Fox, but I haven't seen her in the condition that I think would get her a third place. So I'll give it to Asha Pryor.
I was going to give my pick, Scotty, but there's no point because that's the exact same as what I was going to choose. So that's the wrap for our early preview into FedEx 2013 in the figure. We might even do some of the other divisions, or we might even do the bikini or something next weekend. Next week. We all know who your pick will be for that if she chooses to compete, but we'll have to wait and see. I just want to mention Nathan Rocks won Bolt Nutrients Best Instagram Competition. Did you see how many likes he got on that photo he posted up, Scotty?
Or something?
It was 700. He got a share on the gym memes page.
Oh,
memes, okay. Or whatever you call it. Is it memes or memes?
Memes, I think, but
memes. Or don't tell me that. I've been having a debate with Holly about if it's memes or memes, and she says memes, and I'm like, no, it's a meme. But yeah, I'm probably wrong. But yeah, he got a share on there, so he must know the guy that runs the page. And yeah, he got 20 something shares on the photo and got 700 likes. So who knows how many it's up to now, because that was only after 3 days or so. So Vicky from forums, I thought she was killing it. She got about 300 and something likes, and then Nathan came along and just absolutely murdered everyone. But we had 30 entrants in that comp, which is just which is pretty insane. And I was thinking we might get, you know, 5 or 6, or, you know, maybe even 10 if we're lucky. But I had, my email was kind of flooded, and I had people entering after the actual comp finished as well. I just had to say sorry to people. And so I want to thank everyone that supported that competition and shared around their photos and stuff. And also thanks to Bulk Nutrients for supplying Nathan $200 worth of supplements. And I'm sure Nathan's very happy with that. And Nathan's going to be having an athlete profile go up on our website. It might be up by the time this radio shows up, or it'll be up soon after. So check that out. He won the novice division at the 2012 IFBB Vic. So he's definitely a good up-and-coming bodybuilder, is Nathan. So we'll move on. We'll talk about one more thing before we break, Scotty. I want to talk about the festival culture in Australia, which is, you might think, what's this got to do with bodybuilding? But what's happening, Scotty, is a lot of these guys are kind of getting into the gym just because, well, maybe not just because, but the main reason is because of festivals and stuff. They want to look good and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of got a really bad stigma with it, with, I'm not sure a lot of the listeners will know Ziz, or ZYZZ. He was the guy who kind of, I suppose, started it all. And just what's your thoughts on it, Scotty? You know, obviously there's a lot of use of performance enhancers and stuff like that in bodybuilding, but it's kind of making its way into the mainstream. It's kind of a thing that people do now that they're not particularly educated about, or they're using it very incorrectly, or just based on what, you know, what someone will tell them that probably doesn't even know a lot themselves. What's your thought on all this, Scotty?
Oh, it sounds sounds a lot like the bodybuilding culture when you say it like that. A lot of uneducated people taking things due to the advice from someone else who doesn't know what they're doing. So, I mean, I know as a, you know, hardcore bodybuilder and someone who's kind of opinionated, I'm meant to hate these guys, but I really don't. They don't bother me in the slightest. I think it's kind of self-righteous of bodybuilders to proclaim that you can only take steroids and flex if you're going to get on stage and compete for a plastic trophy, as if it's some great noble cause in comparison to, you know, taking your shirt off at a music festival. I mean, if you really want to break it down and look at it from a logical standpoint, they're both kind of lame. So, look, if these guys train hard and diet consistently, and they obviously do because they get down to some pretty low body fat, and their deadline, their goal is a music festival, and that gives them extra motivation, I don't have a problem with it. They're not hurting anyone. I've got no issue with anything if it's not hurting anyone. So if they want to brag and put up pictures and stuff like that, and it doesn't upset me, it doesn't affect me in any way. I brag and put up pictures when I compete in a contest, so good on them. It's fine. As far as the recreational drug use and everything else goes, well, again, it's only going to harm themselves. It's not like there aren't any bodybuilders out there that don't indulge in this sort of stuff as well. And there's quite a few good bodybuilders that have crossed over and done the festival scene as well as competed. So, you know, whatever. I haven't got a problem with it.
Yeah, I actually had a feeling you would say something along the lines of that, Scotty. I had a strong feeling. Yeah, it's funny. A lot of these people will be kind of victimized. And there's a lot of guys that are like this that are, you know, people would class as douchebags. And, you know, I kind of would class a lot, well, not a lot, but I'd class a percentage of them as douchebags. But like you said, there's people that are going to do stupid things in bodybuilding. There's going to be people that do stupid things in anything like bodybuilding, festival guys, whatever. People are going to do stupid things. And in reality, like, a lot of these guys are just doing essentially kind of what we do. It's just they might drink a bit more and go to festivals, and that's really the only difference. They might, you know, a few of these guys even love bodybuilding, and like you said, a few of them actually compete and all that kind of stuff. I've noticed, you know, we know like Aled and PJ Lee and a few of those kind of guys, and I've even seen Scott Slayman and stuff like that do the festival thing, so I don't have a problem with it either particularly. It's just that I have a problem with people, well, not so much abusing themselves, but giving out, I suppose, the wrong advice and stuff like that. But like you said, happens in bodybuilding. It probably just happens at a greater percentage, kind of on, I suppose, the festival scene, because I'm sure you have, Scotty. I've heard some pretty stupid things that people do, and people taking, things like clenbuterol and stuff like that at high doses from the get-go, because they want to get lean for a festival. And some guys that don't even diet and stuff, and they just do things like that. It's just, I think that's kind of ridiculous. But like you said, people are going to do stupid things in bodybuilding too, and take too much of something, take something the wrong way or whatever. So yep. There's stupid people everywhere, Scotty. So I think that's kind of the main message out there from both of us. Did you see that, Chessbra, who's Ziz's brother, is meant to be fighting Tim Sharkey?
I saw something come up on my newsfeed about Sharkey throwing down a challenge. I didn't know who he was. I could train next to Chess Brown at the gym and I wouldn't know who he was either. So I've heard about it, but I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah, I think apparently it's happening. That's what I thought people have been saying. But that'd be interesting because, like you said, I'm not really that into... It's funny, a lot of these guys will bag all of Ziz and all these guys out and stuff and say, these guys are idiots and all that kind of stuff. But people actually know them, so that's, I suppose, all they're trying to do is be known. It's like with, Paris Hilton and the Kardashians and all that kind of stuff. Like, I suppose they don't really care if people think they're idiots, As long as they're known and they're making money and stuff, that's all that, I suppose, really matters.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's still, for all the people that hate them and think they're idiots, there's probably, a handful of people that love them and think they're great. So, it's the same in bodybuilding. The more popular you become, the more haters you get as well. So I'm sure the dance festival culture is the same. I just think, I don't know, I don't think as bodybuilders that we could really think that we're in a position to go around and attack other subcultures when we are a subculture in and of ourselves. And to general society, we're a bunch of weirdos. So I don't know, I get it on my fan page all the time. Like I'll post some smart ass thing and then people, and they private message me as well, say something about Chess Bar, do a festival stay. And I'm like, I don't care. I just don't care. What's yeah. with them going to a festival? Well, why do you care? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I've never wasted my time on it, and I don't think I ever will, Scotty. I have actually. I did do an article related to it once. That was an article Gretchen did, actually, I think a while back. It was kind of related to that kind of thing, but I don't think he's having a bitch too much about it. But anyway, Scotty, we'll move on and we'll go to a break. In 2 minutes, we'll be back with your Ask Scotty segment.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm here with Scott Goebel once again, and we're here for his Ask Scotty segment. Scott, are you ready?
I am ready.
Now, I just want to mention something before we get right into it. Bros versus Pros 13 was on the weekend, Scott, and we had Dylan Williamson winning $1,500 put up for the men with, get this, Scotty, this is pretty crazy, and they've got Brian Hildebrand. He's the, I suppose, the ref there, or the judge, judging the reps, and he's quite strict with things. And this guy got 53 reps of 250 pounds out on the bench press.
It's obscene. It's obscene. Was it 250 or 225?
Well, I thought it was 225, but on the forum post, Sally posted up and said 250 pounds, so...
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if it's 250 or 225, but even if it's 225, I think that's absolutely insane.
What did the pros get? What did Yerski and Ferocci get?
A lot of those guys are around, I think Ferocci got 38. Yerski actually injured himself after seven reps and had to leave.
No.
So,
no.
Yes, he,
with 225?
Yes, yeah, he got seven reps and just something went. So I think he mentioned he doesn't do flat bench, and that was obviously for a reason. So I don't know if he's tore his pec or if he just strained something or what, but gee, you'd be hoping he didn't tear, you know, get a bad pec tear or anything.
Oh, wow. Oh, Ferocci, that's a good effort.
Yeah, 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 38 reps. So, but yeah, Dylan Williamson, I thought one of the bros was going to win it because there's a lot of guys out there that would be specifically training for this, so... and I don't imagine a lot of pros would train, you know, months for something like this. I think they'd kind of put their efforts more into, you know, might do a few weeks of it, but that's about it. Now, we'll move on, Scotty, to your Ask Scotty segment. Now, I didn't put it out on Facebook this week, but I've got a few questions here.
Nope.
Now, Scotty, first question. Scott, if you had more time on your hands, you know, regarding, you know, less work, just say you did 30 hours less of work a week or something, what would you do with your time?
I would probably work more. I'm just trying to, I'd probably...
Start a new business.
I'm like, oh, geez, I could pick up more PTs, I wouldn't have to knock these people back, or it makes more cash. I would definitely spend a bit more time with the girl because she's pretty neglected. I would probably spend more time with my dog because my dog's pretty neglected, although I got to see both on the weekends. And other than that, I would probably, you know, spend a little bit more time on my bodybuilding as well. Like at the moment, I just don't have the time to get a deep tissue massage. I get to see my physio fortnightly, but I'd probably get a few more massages. I'd probably get a few more hours sleep, and that'd all add up to about 30 hours, I guess. Yeah, it's just little things like that. I'd maybe even get to watch a movie every now and then.
Oh, a movie, Scotty. That'd be a novel kind of thing for you. Yeah. I pretty much do most of the things I want to do at the moment. I do actually work quite a few hours, and I work at night most of the time, but, yeah, like, it's kind of good because sometimes I'll procrastinate a bit and I'll work and I won't do much, you know, I'm talking about at night, like after, you know, like in normal kind of knock-off hours, I guess. So I work from the morning and then I'll work through the night. And when I was single, I was just working till whenever, and I just wouldn't kind of go to sleep, and I'd procrastinate a bit and work and procrastinate and stuff. And it kind of would just be kind of, everything would be centered around work and then just training between all day. So it's kind of good now having a girlfriend where I think, okay, I've got to smash through work and then finish at this kind of time. And if I have a little bit more work, it doesn't really matter. But it's kind of good having, you know, a bit more of a structured kind of working week at the moment. So
yeah, and speaking of your working and procrastinating, I owe an apology to the print media of Australia. Australian Ironman did actually get out their nationals report and pictures just a little bit faster than you did there on RX. So congratulations to the print media with a victory over the internet there.
Yes. The print media, had different privileges to us, though, Scotty. So we have to just remember that. And I got it up pretty soon after getting the list within a week. So there was 5,000 photos as well, so which I'm sure you don't get through a magazine. So,
that's true.
Yes, we reign supreme there. So if you want to check out the IFBB Nationals gallery, you can either go to the front page of RX Muscle Australia, which is rxmuscle.com.au, and just click on those pictures, and it's got the full results. It's got all the photos of everyone on there, so you just click on the name and check out all their photos, or you can check out the comparison galleries and stuff like that. So it's all up there now, and you can go and check it out, or you can just go to the RX Muscle Gallery, so gallery.rxmuscle.com, and then just search either Nationals or Australian Nationals, and you'll get that there. So, Scotty, one more question. Now, this is business-related, so you'll probably love it. Now, you've recently obviously started Mass Nutrition Mooney Ponds, which is obviously, it sounds like it's all going well, and you're doing well from it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people will kind of get the idea if they want to do something in bodybuilding. They want to start a business, they want to do PT or whatever. Now, I want to get an idea. I've written down a few kind of ideas what people might want to start a business, related to bodybuilding. But I want to ask you, what do you think are good and bad businesses to start in the kind of bodybuilding and fitness industry? Do you want me to list them off and you can say whether you think they're good ideas or bad ideas?
Yeah, do that.
Okay, like a supplement line. Like a supplement line you'd retail, like you'd sell to shops. Good idea, bad idea?
Bad idea.
Bad idea, yeah. I actually think the same thing as well. A retail store. It's like
funny you said that. Keith Ellis walked by. Having Keith Ellis, the owner of Amino Active Max, has just strolled by the front of my car and gave me the big thumbs up as you said that, as he strutted in with his, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars spilling out of his wallet.
Maybe not that bad of an idea, but it is, from knowing people would have started their own supplement line in Australia, it's not an easy thing to do. It is not easy.
No. Sorry, what was the next one?
Retails, like a retail store, like either, you know, an online I suppose, to the public store, or like a walk-in store, like obviously you've got at Mass Nutrition.
Look, I mean, I think with all of these things, the answer is going to be the same. If you've got a point of difference, if you've got a reason for people to come to you, you can make a success of it. It's the same with personal training. You're not going to be an incredible personal trainer just by getting the certificate. In the same way, you're not going to be a successful retailer just by getting a store frontage. You've got to give the people a reason to come in there, whether it's your knowledge or your prices or your personality or whatever it may be. So I think all of them can work, but I would say retail or online, it's a tough gig. It's a tough gig. There's a lot out there. You better do your market research. You better find an area where there's, you know, not too much competition, and you better give people a reason to come in.
Yeah, it's definitely not an easy thing to sell a huge amount of products, especially I found that online is very hard to compete with prices and stuff like that. So your markup's going to be very small online, especially.
If you're going to do online, you have to have a lot of money. Like you have to come in and do big orders, big buys to get the discounts and be competitive. You need those discounts in order to be able to sell at a competitive price and still make a margin off it, still make some profit. So it's one of those things, you're not going to make money without having money initially to invest in it. You can't. It's going to be very, very difficult to start off with $10,000 and do anything of significance.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, a tanning line.
You know what? I mean, that market may still be open, you know? Like, there's only a couple of guys in it with Phil Kabakoff and Wayne Wilson's suntan on. I'm not sure how Wayne's gone with it. Phil still dominates the market and crosses over into dance and other things like that. So there may be a possibility there. It's a big industry. I think if you did do that, you would want to have some bodybuilding lines and you'd want to have some general public type of lines as well, some more mainstream stuff just to broaden your scope.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, definitely. Now, a clothing line.
I don't know. I don't know if the Australian market's big enough for it. Like, there's only so many big guys, or, you know, if you're aiming at the gym going public, there's only so many of them that want a specific gym wear. Rider wear seems to be doing quite well. Activewear Online has their market. And, you know, you've got Black and Blue. They seem to be the big ones. But, you know, again, if you're going to do it, you need to cross over into mainstream fitness as well. You know, like Lorna Jane would be just turning over millions and millions of dollars a year. But
yeah, of course.
They're not targeting female bodybuilders or figure competitors. They're targeting women that go to the gym. So, yeah, if you broaden your scope, maybe.
Yep. Now, personal training business.
You have to have one of two things. You either have to have a great personality, or you have to have a big point of difference, whether it be knowledge or some sort of reputation. So, yes, if you've got either one of those, you can do very well.
Yep. And now, last one, gym equipment is in terms of, you know, either, you know, actual gym equipment or in terms of something like a product, like a grip or like a certain weight belt or something like that.
Maybe if you've got a point of difference again. Like the ones that have done really well in recent years are the sort of functional strength ones, the ones that have kitted out all the CrossFit gyms and things like that. There hasn't been much competition, and now they're propping up everywhere. So the guys that were selling kettlebells and sleds and, you know, chin-up racks and all that sort of stuff have done really well for himself. I know that. But you've got to be up on the market and know exactly what the trends are, what direction it's going, what your competition is, and, again, have a point of difference. You're not just going to whack something up in the shed and think you're going to make $1 million from it. Unless, of course, you're the person who invented that ab roller. I don't know, back in the day, back 15 years ago, when that ab roller came out, every single household had one. So whoever invented that made $1 million, multi-millions.
More than a million. Yeah. Definitely. Anyway, Scotty, that's the end of our Scotty segment. If you want to send your questions for Scotty through to me, send them to xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. That's xavierwills @rxmuscle.com.au. And Scotty, we'll be back with the interview with Wayne Howlett, or if it's not him, it will be someone else. And then we'll be back in 2 minutes after that to wrap up the show.
Cool.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. Now I'm joined by a two-time gold medalist and second place in the overall GPA World Championships in powerlifting, Wayne Howlett. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Xavier.
Now, I just mentioned that you won two golds at the World Championships just recently, and that was held in Argentina, which is... as I said, GPA, which is affiliated with CAPO,
yes.
Which is like the Australian version. Now, what was that experience like? Because you went into this with kind of just wanting to better your performance in Latvia from last year, and you obviously did that. How did that feel to obviously go so well at the Worlds?
Yeah, to travel overseas with all that goes with that, with the, the long flight, the lack of... proper nutrition on the plane and all that sort of stuff, and to be able to come away with a good result, it was so much more rewarding than it would have been if it was at home. So, yeah.
What was it like your second year competing at the Worlds compared to the first? Like, you obviously knew kind of what to expect and everything like that in terms of competition and stuff. Was it a bit easier the second time?
Yeah, it was. Funny thing, in Latvia last year, I've always had this thing at home, just so nervous. Nerves just kill me before I go out to lift. But it was weird. In Latvia, the nerves were gone. I think it was because there was sort of so many people there, but no one knew me. There was no expectation. You know, when you're at home, everybody knows what you're lifting, and they're all, on the edge of their seats waiting for you to do a personal best lift, where you're sort of a nobody over there. And so the nerves thing was gone in Latvia, and it was similar experience in Argentina as well. So in that regard, yeah, it was easier. The equipment, different equipment is always an issue. You've been training with specific bars, specific monolifts, benches, and you get over to another country and you've got to adjust yourself to totally different equipment. I found that really hard in Argentina.
How different are the bars? Like, what's the difference? Is it more bend in them, or what is it?
Yeah. So with a squat bar, with a specialized squat bar, there's little to no width. You can have it loaded up to 400 kilos and it'll just stay dead straight on your back. In the warm-up in Argentina, yeah, the bars were smaller, which I can't actually fit under a normal bar anyway anymore. I've got to use a specialised bar that's 57 inches between collars so that I can get my arms out further. Yep. So during the warm-up, I actually injured myself, forcing myself under a small bar.
And that did you injure your shoulders or what was it?
Yeah, I partially tear my biceps every time I squeeze myself under a bar. Even the specialised squat bars, when the weight starts to get heavy and I have to really hold on to the bar tightly on my back, I'll come away with these injured biceps. I spend most of my days after training at home with ice just tied to both of my arms. It's just my structure, I think. It's just something I'm going to have to live with for the rest of my lifting career, I think. But, yeah, unfortunately, I was injured in the warm-up in Argentina, and that was just the start of it. The bars were so whippy. It was one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen in a warm-up area. There was... the South Americans didn't like collars on bars either in the warm-up, funnily enough. They'd throw the collars off. We'd put them on, they'd throw them off. And mind you, there was all of us were warming up with like around 800 pounds. It was all about between 340 and 360 kilos were in the warm-up. So, and they had two little South American girls that weighed probably 45 kilos, and they were there just pushing the plates back on the bars as they were falling off.
And, well, that's insane.
Yeah, they weren't even scared. They were just, it was like they do it every day over there. So it was really dangerous. So we had to go through absolute hell before we got out to do our opening squats.
Now, when people hear that you partially torn your biceps when you warmed up, and some people think, oh, yeah, you might be exaggerating, but... I bet I know you personally. You train absolutely insane, and you know I've seen you before with, your eyes have been like you burst blood vessels in your eyes and stuff from squatting, and yeah. You actually, I can't remember how long ago it was now. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago, where you broke your ankle after you spotting someone, you stepped off something, and you broke.
Yeah.
Was it your ankle you broke?
It was a 2-inch crack I had in my foot.
Yeah, and you actually. Am I right in saying this, that you took the plaster off and you attempted to do a deadlift in a deadlift comp, or are you going to attempt?
I was told by the doctor that I wouldn't be able to put pressure on it for 5 weeks, and in 6 weeks I won the Australian Powerlifting Championships. Yeah.
Oh, that's insane. You were actually going to attempt to do the Tasmanian one or something too, wasn't you?
Yeah, it was around the same time as that.
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't believe it when you took your own plaster off. I couldn't. I was amazed. But yeah, you train... I remember you and your brother, you and Sean, training in extreme, just screaming at each other and just lifting some insane weights. And you didn't actually, back then you didn't actually train with a powerlifting style, I guess you'd say. You trained more like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, well, bodybuilding was always my first passion. Even though I've never competed, I was just a massive fan of bodybuilding. I still am, and so I trained like a bodybuilder from day one, and that was sort of my... goal to compete in, to get on stage, but I don't know, I was just naturally strong. I didn't know I was strong until I started to get around some powerlifters and blokes with a bit of powerlifting knowledge, until I realised that I could probably be really good at this. So I just, and there was no preparation involved for my first couple of powerlifting competitions. It was just a matter of me just entering and competing, whereas a bodybuilding comp, I know how much torture you guys go through, so it was just sort of a convenient option for me to take, and once I started to lift in competition, that was it. I was just hooked, I can't see myself ever slowing down now.
Yep. Now, Wayne, how did you get into the whole bodybuilding, powerlifting scene in terms of lifting and all that kind of stuff? How did you get into that?
Yeah, I can remember when I was about 8 years old, and I used to live in a little suburb in Hobart called Goodwood, and there was a little news agency that was just a walk through a paddock from my place, and I remember going in there with my dad, and I'd see the magazines on the shelves of Arnold and other great pro bodybuilders. I never knew how they got like it. I just knew they looked insane, and I just wanted to look like that. And so I had an interest from a really young age, but I'd never lifted a weight before. I never knew they lifted weights to look like that. So, and then later on in life, as I got into my teens, obviously I knew then how these guys get like that. And then unfortunately, I took a few wrong paths in life and found myself doing a bit of prison time as a teenager. And that's when I found the gym. And that's what got me started in the gym.
Yep. So were you kind of, I suppose, forced into that, or did you just start training because it was there and you loved it, or what happened there?
Well, you know, as I said, I always had an interest from the time I was about 8 years old. So when I went to prison, I could do normal things in life, which, well, so to speak, as opposed to the lifestyle I was living on the outside. So I never had time to do anything normal out on the outside. So inside, I was forced to live as normal as possible. And one of those things was working out in the gym. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yep. Did you have people in there with knowledge about it that helped you out? Or was you kind of...
Yeah, there was a lot of strong guys in there. Like some of them to this day, you know, like... Some of these guys could be pro bodybuilders now. So much talent in there. Strong blokes. A lot of wasted talent. But that's everywhere, I suppose. All over the place. But, yeah, there was one bloke in particular who actually had a really wide knowledge of training. And he sort of took me under his wing. And he got me started. And he trained me up for my first... powerlifting competition, which was in Risdon Prison. I think that was in 2001. And I was weighing about 74 kilos, I think. And I bench pressed 155 kilos. It was a double body weight bench press anyway. And a 200 kilo squat and a 200 kilo deadlift, something along those lines. And I actually won the overall. I beat everyone in the prison at 19 years old, weighing 74 kilos. Yeah, and
that's insane. They're big lifts. They're big lifts.
Yeah, they're all raw. Obviously, I never knew what bench shirts or squat suits or anything like it was back then. So, yeah, it was. And that's really what got me started, Xavier.
Yeah. What kind of food was you getting in there? Like, were you eating much as a 19-year-old in prison, or was it kind of a bit more difficult to get the right kind of nutrition?
Yeah, it was really hard. As the gym thing grew in prison, we ended up, we had Musashi bars on the canteen list, eggs from the kitchen has everything. So you've just got to know somebody working in the kitchen and, you can, pretty much get whatever you want. But, on the canteen list was just Musashi protein bars, packets of tuna. I think the little 150 gram bags of tuna, that's pretty much all protein wise, but, a lot of stuff used to come out of the kitchen. So we had eggs and milk and steaks and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Pretty much all the stuff we need out here, you can access.
Cool.
Yeah.
What were the training facilities like? Did they have much in terms of machines, or was it pretty much all free weight stuff?
It was all free weights. If you can picture a yard as a tennis court and line, say, 10 of those tennis courts next to each other, well, each of those courts, which is a yard, all had their own small free weight gym. And there were lots of plates, lots of, you know, a couple of benches maybe in each one, a squat rack, curl bars, you know, a few broken dumbbells or dumbbells that you could adjust. It's pretty much everything you'd need. Some pull-down machines and seated row machines. Later on down the track, we acquired a cable crossover machine, a hack squat. Then in the more recent years that I was there, the maintenance workers who were inmates, we actually built the prison's first monolift.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and it was built out of the old perimeter fence when they'd done a lot of work on the prison. And the maintenance men had no idea what a monolift was, so I just explained to them the best way I could. And it ended up being an absolute beauty. Yeah, and we actually borrowed it from the prison earlier this year to use in our warm-up area at the Tasmanian Powerlifting Championships at the Doon Entertainment Centre.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. laps.
Very cool. Now, obviously, from there you went on and you came out and you've done some awesome things in powerlifting, and you've obviously ran bodybuilding comps and all that kind of stuff in Tasmania. So you've done some huge things, and one of the obviously those huge accomplishments, I suppose you'd call it, is getting Ronnie Coleman, 8-time Mr. Olympia, out to your gym that you owned at the time, which was Extreme Physique Gym. That was in Moona, and you got him out there, and I was actually working there at the time, so it was a massive... I was extremely excited, you know, to see Mr. Olympia in the gym I worked in. So what was that like, obviously, as a, you know, a gym owner and, you know, you loved Ronnie Coleman. I know you guys are huge fans. So.
I absolutely love him, yeah. Like, well, I first heard of Ronnie in, the magazines in prison, and I ordered his video, Unbelievable, and had it sent into the prison. So, and it got watched so many times, it just did not work anymore. It was just stuff. And every inmate would just be walking around in the gym, yeah, buddy, like just screaming out Ronnie Coleman quotes. And so to get out and open up a fairly big commercial-sized gym, Extreme Physique Gym at the time, in 2005, and then, you know, less than a year later, have Ronnie Coleman himself visit the gym and do a training session in front of, you know, a couple of hundred people at our gym, and for him to take part in that special dinner that we'd organised, and we're lucky enough to have Tony Doherty MC the night. Yeah, to have all that happen in under a year it was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Now, you've obviously opened your gym in three locations, and they all kind of had their own little, good points and stuff about them. Which one did you like the most? Because you had the first one with the smaller gym, which was had all the blue walls. Then you had the second one, which was a much bigger gym.
Yep.
And then you had the third one, which was another pretty big gym as well, but it kind of had some wooden floors and stuff like that.
Yeah. My favourite memories are from the very first one. You know, it was just a massive milestone for me to come where I came from and just to get that up and running and to gain some respect by bodybuilders and officials from all around Australia and the world in that little location we had in Moona. Yeah, so that's probably my fondest memories. But obviously, as we progressed and sort of learnt more about the industry we were in, I'd say the last gym that I had, the bigger one, was probably the most well-equipped and well-organised. It's unfortunate that it's not around today, but, yeah, things happen.
Yep, but you do have a gym you run at the moment, which is more of a private gym. That's Slaughterhouse. What's that like, and do you ever consider kind of going back into the, opening up a gym for the public?
Xavier, as soon as I went from the commercial gyms, always stressing out about keeping members happy and, it was like my own personal plans sort of were in the industry were sort of on the back burner. So, because I was always worried about keeping everybody else happy. But now I've got this private gym in Glenorchy. My own lifting career has just taken off. It's like it's all about me now. Me and my brother and a few close friends that are all competitive powerlifters. We go in there and it's just specifically set up for us, our requirements, and we've got 20 world records and 30 Australian records between just our members at Slaughterhouse Gym.
Wow, and it's not like you've got a huge amount of members either. It's a small group kind of, really.
Yeah, so we've got, I think there's eight or nine of us at Slaughterhouse that all deadlift well over 300 kilos, all in this tiny little gym in Moona. There's four or five of us that have all squatted 400 or more in one form or another. So, yeah, to have all that in our own little gym, it's pretty special.
Yeah, definitely. That's some amazing lifts there, but just... the small amount of people you got in there, but the amount of people that actually lift those weights is just pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Now, one more question before we end the interview, Wayne. Would you ever consider competing in bodybuilding? Because for people that don't know you or haven't seen you, you're a big dude. You're a, like you pack a like you're not just a powerlifters of it just, you know, holds a huge amount of body fat and that's it. You've got a hell of a lot of muscle on your arm frame.
Yeah, like I said, from the very beginning, I was a massive fan of bodybuilding. I still am today, and I'd absolutely love to do it at some point. I just don't want to leave it too long. Otherwise, I'd just feel as though I wouldn't be bringing my best package to the stage. So, if I am going to do it, I think I'll have to do it in the next year or so. But it's a possibility, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Now you've got a few sponsors that you'll want to mention. Obviously, one of the sponsors is a sponsor of our website, and that's BioFlex Nutrition.
Yeah, BioFlex. Ben from BioFlex has just been incredible. He's helped me so much. There's also some other people I want to mention, and it's Bar Builders. They've been great. They're a local company, and he's just been amazing. Bob and Chris Barr. There's OMCD Inc. from Devonport. James and all the boys up there, they help out as much as they can. Vic Tav in Hobart, Luke and everyone in there, they're really supportive. They support everything I do down here. Who have I forgot? AWA and BioFlex came to an agreement so they could both assist me with what I'm doing, and yeah, they've been amazing too. So yeah.
Awesome. So you've definitely got a lot of support behind you, and
100%.
And that's important when you're a lot of people say that in bodybuilding, but I'm sure it's the same in powerlifting as well. You've got to have a lot of support, and it all helps obviously. And I want to thank you for being on the show, Wayne.
Yep, not a problem, Xavier.
That's Wayne Howlett, powerlifting world champion.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider. With over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel, Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market, then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at BioFlexNutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by Scott Goble once again, and we're here to wrap up the show. It was a great show, Scotty. Really enjoyed our Scotty segment. Something different this week, so it was good to get your views on a few things, Scotty, what you do outside of bodybuilding if you had more time and all that kind of stuff. You want to mention a few things about Muscle Mules, is that right?
Yeah, look, Muscle Mules Direct have gone online, which is making things a lot easier. So just check out musclemulesdirect.com.au. All the Sydney people can order online, and over the coming weeks, nationwide, it's going to go online. So it's going to make things very, very easy. You just, you know, jump on the website. It's going to be uniform prices, because at the moment, some distributors sell it at some one price and the other guy might sell it a little bit cheaper. Now it's going to be totally uniform. You can pick it all out, pick exactly what you want on the website, pay then and there, and just rock up to your local distributor and grab your meals. Now, they're closed for the next 3 weeks, which of course means I've ordered 3 weeks worth of food, because I honestly do not know how I lived without these things before. The people that are skeptical about the food are skeptical because they haven't tried it. It is bloody good food, and the few measly dollars you can potentially save by making your own food is absolutely nothing in comparison to the variety you get, the time you save cooking, cleaning, shopping, and everything else. So I, for one, cannot believe that there would be a competitive bodybuilder out there that wouldn't be having these things. I honestly kind of see a bit of a trend with people that order them and kind of drop off. They're the people that want to be serious about their bodybuilding but can't be. Like, they'll order 24 meals, which, you know, a serious bodybuilder will knock off every single week, week after week. But these guys, and they fall a bit behind, they have a shit day and they're hungover and they've got meals left over in their fridge, so then they skip a week because they've still got enough there and everything else. And then I think it's kind of a case of they just feel like the Muscle Mules make them accountable and they want the flexibility to slack off. But if you're serious about your training and everything, I just couldn't imagine why you wouldn't be jumping on these Muscle Mules. So they're available at pretty much most of the Mass Nutritions as well as a variety of other places. Just check out their Facebook page, click the About section, you'll find a distributor. Go to the website if you're in Sydney and get on board. Like I say, they're not going to be open again until the 7th of December, 7th of January, sorry. But the Sydney size and things can still order all their meals, so check it out.
Scotty, you said online you can get them nationwide. Do you mean actual nationwide you can get them anywhere, or do you mean nationwide in terms of New South Wales, Victoria?
Through their approved distributors. So it's extensively in Queensland. It's all over Sydney. It's in Victoria in a few places. It's in Adelaide in a few places. It's made its way to Darwin. So nationwide, excluding those shitholes that no one cares about, like Tasmania and Western Australia.
The two places I'm going between is the only freaking place that I know that. Oh, that's awesome. All right, so I just want to mention, I've been reading a few more news stories lately, Scotty. Like, you know, Dave reads out the kind of weird news stories and stuff on a few of his radio programs. I found a website that I read, well, I go on every now and then if I'm bored or something on the internet. And I was looking through stories, and there's one that it kind of caught my eye because I've been, you know, using Instagram and Twitter a lot lately, where they use a lot of hashtagging and stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw there's someone out there that called their baby hashtag.
Oh, I heard about that as well. Yeah, it's disgraceful.
Freaking disgusting. Hashtag Jameson. And it's pretty funny that the person that posted it on Facebook said hashtag Jameson was born 10 o'clock last night, spelt night wrong. She spelt weighs, W-E-Y-S.
Nice.
Yeah. 8 pounds, and I love her so much. And spelt love, you know, not the proper way, you know, with the L-U-V. And, yeah, it's just, It's actually a Q-Baby, but it's a freaking stupid name to call someone. And then down at the bottom, like the author, the person that wrote the article says, hashtag Jameson now joins our honor roll of awkward names, which include Facebook, Falcon, Thor, and Nicki Minaj. And I was actually, I've been doing the photo tagging for Nationals and stuff like that, and I actually tagged a dude in there called Thor.
Thor Jensen? Compete.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know Thor. Thor's a good guy.
Yeah, so I found that funny, but the honor roll of awkward names, I found that quite funny, but there's a Thor at the Nationals, and I actually end up tagging someone as well in one of the galleries. I don't think it was the Nationals. I think it was another one. And the guy's name, it's obviously a guy in Australia, and his name was Sugar Sean. So,
ugh.
I found that interesting. His first name was Sugar, like S-U-G-A, and his last name was Sean. I sent a picture of it to Aaron as well. I said, why didn't you call Baby Asher that? Because, as you know, probably Scotty, Sean Ray is called Sugar Sean, and Aaron and Sean don't particularly get on too well, so.
I always wonder if Sean Ray is really called that by anyone other than himself. Like the only person I've ever heard refer to themselves or refer to Sugar Sean Ray is Sean Ray himself. Hi, it's Sugar Sean Ray. You're like, what the fuck?
It was
never Sugar Sean Ray during his bodybuilding career. No one ever called him that. And all of a sudden, he's just gone. You know what would be cool if you know? Maybe I'll call myself Sugar.
Yeah, I've actually noticed. I've never actually noticed anyone calling that apart from himself. So.
No. Like.
That's interesting. Now, I just want to mention Bulk Nutrients promotion of the month is you get 300 grams of D-aspartic acid when you order $250 or more from their online store. So visit www.bulknutrients.com.au. And that about wraps it up for the week, Scotty. It's been a good show. Episode number 33, we're smashing through them. And I know you've got a personal training client, so we'll leave it now. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia. The truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble. Only on Aussie Muscle Radio.